You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 6th of January, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I'm very pleased to say we have some special guests today, some special guests that are live at the Trump rally in Washington, D.C. We have with us today Jason Kerner, No White Guilt, and we also have with us today for the first time at Radio Albion, Mr. Patrick Slattery, Dr. Patrick Slattery, no less. Jason, how are you doing today? What are your impressions of the place so far?
It is magnificent here today. Are you hearing me okay still, brother?
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear.
All right. Fantastic. Yeah, well, it's wonderful to be with you, Sven. Thank you so much for having us on the show. And very excited today. It's been an exciting couple of days, actually. There's been so many things going on. And everything that your audience is hearing right now, this is the up-to-date. This is the man on the street. This is as exciting and as hot as it gets right now. In fact, I'm a police car is racing by with its lights going. We had to walk about a block away, a block and a half away from the ellipse, which is the big side of the lawn of the White House. So you have the small, you have the short side where you're practically right at the front door. And then you have the ellipse side. That's the big lawn. And there's a stage set up there. They're playing music. There are many, many, many thousands of people. And I remarked, I did my own stream. One of them, I plan on doing several today. One of them, on the way in, and the highways where normally the traffic in Northern Virginia and Southern Maryland, DC metro area is heavy. Normally it's heavy with the China virus restrictions. It's been lighter, but the traffic was actually heavier because of all of the people coming in to DC today. And over the past couple of days, I received some legitimate estimates by people in the know of somewhere around 500,000. And then just yesterday, information by people in the know that said it could be as high as nearly 2 million. There were flags flying from vehicles, Trump flags, stars and stripes flags, Trump flags that was the blue with like a white Trump train on it, don't tread on me flags, flying out of cars, heading down the highway, parties going on in vehicles, heading down the highway, not at speed, but, you know, in traffic. I'd never seen anything like this. And also, I didn't see any Biden flags or Biden signs or Biden stickers or Biden parties in the cars headed toward the district. The subway station here, known as the Metro, the trains were full of Trump supporters, and then come out of the Metro station, and it's just wall to wall, block after block of this sea of people. Chanting things like stop the steal and Trump has to declare martial law. And the crowd continues to build as we're here. Now, I was over near the right in front of the ellipse, and there is no cell phone communication there. They have shut down all internet and cell phone communication. So to be able just to be with you, we had to come a block and a half or so away from some of the immediate festivities. And yet where we were, you know, we're right by the Washington Monument. I'm sure your listeners are going to be able to visualize that. Imagine the Washington Monument and the entire lawn, absolutely a seething sea of humanity in support of Constitution, in support of freedom, in support of Donald Trump, but also radically in support of radically in support of everything that is stands in opposition to the anti-whites, anti-whitism. And I'm passing out cards here like crazy. People are eagerly taking them. Otherwise, just a thrilling event. So we can hear from the good doctor.
Well, that sounds fantastic, Jason. I've just got one quick question there. They've shut down the wireless facility for the cell phones. I mean, why did they do that, do you think?
Well, I would imagine it has something to do with security, but it could also be some sort of underhanded business by Mayor Bowser here in D.C. She has taken – she's anti-white. She's the one who had the big Black Lives Matter spray painted on the pavement here. She has ordered hotels to close, restaurants to close to prevent people from coming into D.C. today. So I don't know it. Perhaps she had something to do with it, or it's just a general security measure for the president, who will be speaking at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, I guess people can use the wireless from the cafes, hopefully. Well, yes, let's go over to Dr. Slattery. Dr. Slattery, I'm very pleased to have you on the show. I'm a big fan of National Bugle Radio, and we restream you here at Radio Albion. Unfortunately, it's the day after the original show, but yeah, I really enjoy your stuff. What is your impression of the place so far, then?
Well, it's only just past 10 a.m. local time, and so... This is a lot of people for a demonstration. I've seen more people at inaugurations or the bicentennial celebration back in 1976. This is a cold winter day, and you are seeing just this steady flow of people towards the White House area where the events are going to start. To me, I don't have a numerical target for the number of people I want to see here. I want enough people so that in the afternoon, hopefully, if these people know what's going on, and if there's decent leadership, they're going to go down and more or less surround the Capitol building, so that any people who sell out our republic, if they think they're going to, you know, just vote and be whisked away back to wherever they're going, no, there should be enough people that the Capitol is surrounded for many blocks around, so that there can't be any like swift exit without having to see the faces of the people, without having to really push through a throng of people that they've just sold out. So the streets need to be clogged, and I don't know if that will happen or not. I hope it will. And so far, there do seem to be enough people that can happen. I don't know what the speakers in front of the White House, or actually behind the White House, are going to be saying. But yeah, what's important is that in about three or four hours, everybody moved down to the Capitol and basically surrounded. I'm not calling for like storming the Capitol or anything like that, but I just want the congressmen to know that they're not alone, and that they might just want to stay there they might just want to stay inside and talk to each other for a while, for a long, long while. So, yeah, that's my story.
So it's a huge show of strength, really, and a show of support for Donald Trump and the fact that this election has been stolen and something needs to be done about this. I guess you're expecting to hear a speech from Trump at least today. But what else besides that are you expecting to happen, Dr. Slattery?
Well, so there's a number of senators and at least two thirds of the House Republican delegation that has declared that they are going to object to electoral votes from a number of states. And according to news reports, Ted Cruz was going to object to Arizona. They read them off in alphabetical order, so Arizona would be the third state to be read off. And Arizona, if he Jesuit in Arizona, then there would be the House, the Senators would leave the House chambers, go back to the other side of the Capitol, and you'd have 2-hour debate, and then they'd vote on the objections. And at that point, we would be able to see what direction this is going in. But Ted Cruz is going to ask for a 10-day emergency audit of the votes. Now, that's a long shot, but under the current laws governing the counting of the votes, if the pro-Trump people so wanted to, they could object to every single state, and the states have to each objection to each state, the senators would have to walk over to the other side of the Capitol, debate for 2 hours, and come back. You know, so when you multiply out all the objections by the 3 hours or so it would take for each objection, you'd be talking about probably a couple of weeks. So if they wanted to use that kind of parliamentary tactic, if they were prepared to do that, then the other side might just say, well, okay, well, let's just have a more orderly 10-day audit rather than 2 weeks worth of walking back and forth and 2-hour debates. That's the hope. I don't know. We'll see. But I think Jason has some information that might actually supersede that possible strategy.
Well, go on, Jason. Yeah, tell us more about if there's another strategy. I mean, that seems like a good strategy to me. As well as having all the people outside, you've also got people that are working on the inside that are saying, "Look, we're going to make things difficult here unless you agree to go on with this audit." So, what other plans do you think there might be, Jason?
Well, here's the thing, and I'm just want to add what Dr. Slattery was detailing there is the law. In part was the law of the land, and also some news on what some of the senators are would like to do, would hope to do. Now, the Constitution dictates how this process. There are some areas that are a bit gray, but there are others that are black and white, and also many of the things that could be done have been done before. So these things are not only written into law, the process. And the rules, but they have actually been implemented. Now, over the past 2 days, Congress has been meeting deep into the night. They've been, and this information I shared on Twitter this morning. And by the way, for your listeners, I'm going to be trying to, if you can, you might be able to hear people cheering now. It's really starting to get a bit boisterous. I'm going to be trying to do a couple of live streams from here, depending upon what they do with the communications, to give some more up-to-date information. But what we know right now is very disheartening, because over the past two nights, and this is not public information, over the past two nights, Congress has been getting together, and they have been writing rules for how to circumvent the Constitution and what is supposed to happen today. So there is a process, and as I say, Dr. Slattery knows exactly. He could tell you every letter of the law of that process. But they are planning. Both Republicans and Democrats have agreed to this. They hashed out over the past two nights, and the plan here is now. You just heard Dr. Slattery tell you about how it's supposed to be these objections, and then 2-hour debates, and objections, and 2-hour debates. They instead are going to have a farce debate of 2 hours to start the process. And then when Vice President Pence begins, and I want to stress a farce debate. They already know they've planned it to be a farce debate. Nothing can come of it. It's for show, so that these Republicans who are involved can get votes later on when they run for office again. So the debate is a farce. Unless something changes, this is what they've planned. And then they're going to go in, and the Vice President Pence is going to open up the Electoral College votes for each state. Now, at that point, House members and senators can stand up and object. But their plan right now that they decided upon over the past two nights is to gavel through the objections and give the election and the Electoral College votes to Joe Biden. So the plan is to not listen to these objections and then to not have the normal debates that the Constitution demands of them. So a breach of the law. I just want to make clear, too, that it's not every single Republican, but it is the Republican Party. There are a few, I can't tell you who, but there are a few that are furious and they battled against this day and night. And they might try to do something during that the process when they actually are gaveling through the objections and just forcing it through. Now, the most spectacular thing that could happen today, and this might be very interesting for your audience to hear, the most spectacular thing that could happen today is that if they begin gaveling through the objections, that Trump declares martial law in the middle of that process. He can declare martial law, and Dr. Slattery can correct me if I'm wrong, all the way up until Biden is sworn in as president on the 20th. So you could have something that is really spectacular today where the president declares martial law. And you could have something very interesting as well, where perhaps Pence, who has over the past week and plus been having meetings with Pelosi and not returning phone call, and Schumer and not returning phone calls to Republicans, perhaps this is some Byzantine statecraft, and he is misleading them with the idea that I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. This is the way we're going to do it, so that they don't look for another option. And then when it comes down to the moment of counting the Electoral College votes, he does what a vice president can do, and that is to just take the Electoral College votes of any states that are in question and just throw them out. And if he throws out the contested votes, then you are left with a Donald Trump victory.
Which is what we want to see, obviously. Well, I have a question here for Dr. Slattery. Last time, when Donald Trump was sworn in, the Democrats were making objections, and I believe the response to the objections were, do you have a senator that supports your objection? And I don't think they had a senator that supported the objection, and they just banged the hammer. So is that what was happening? What's the difference this time?
It was Joe Biden, who was vice president at the time, who was presiding, and he was the one banging the hammer and saying, do you have a senator? And they were saying no. And so it was Joe Biden banging the hammer. So there's a lot of irony in this history. So because Pence will be the presiding officer and he will have the gavel in his hand, an awful lot depends on what he's going to do. And there is ambiguity over exactly how much discretion he has. There's ambiguity. But where there's no ambiguity is that at every stage of the election process, since, you know, rewriting the rules unconstitutionally to allow for these mail-in ballots and removing requirements for signature verification and this and that, just all the way through Election Day and onward, the other side has flagrantly violated every rule. So there's no ambiguity about their violations. And for Pence, if Pence is going to equivocate because he's not 100% sure how far his authority goes, I mean, I think we're well past the point where he should have any, if there's any ambiguity, he should err on the side of it is his prerogative, and then see what happens. But I don't know. We've got a lot of timid people, so we'll just have to see.
Is the difference this time then that the people that are going to be making the objections, they've got senators behind them, whereas the Democrats last time they didn't? Right.
They have senators behind them. Now, in 2004, there was one state that the Democrats challenged and they did have a senator. And so they went through this process with that one state in 2004. There was it was actually January 2005 when the counting was happening. And then in 1969, there was one elector from North Carolina that there was an objection to, and they had a senator that at that point. Those weren't particularly significant, but here you've got the election hanging in the balance. And so the last time something like this happened was 1877, and it wound up taking several weeks, and it wasn't until a day or two before the inauguration that they sorted it out and agreed that a Republican Rutherford B. Hayes would be inaugurated. And it wasn't at all clear that that was going to be the outcome at the start of the process.
I think we could see something like that happening again now. I mean, something is saying to me that I think what's going to happen is they will make these objections. They'll get asked if they have a senator behind them. They will have a senator behind them, and then Pence will go through the debate. And I think it could end up going on for a couple of weeks like that, and all the evidence will come out. That's what we want to see. We want to see this evidence that's out there. We've seen it because we've been following the alternative media, but the majority of the public haven't seen this. I mean, over here in Britain, we keep being told by the BBC, baseless allegations, Trump has no evidence. And if you haven't been watching the alternative media, you would have no idea that there's been such massive amounts of fraud. And this could be the chance to get that out there. Now, is Trump supposed to be giving a speech today, Jason? Because, I mean, really, I mean, I thought this. Everybody was going there to see Trump. He's going to be giving this big rally. He's going to be giving a big speech. And then I realized that it coinciding with this day as well, when they have the electors there. So is everybody expecting Trump to give a speech today? Or is it Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes and those sort of people?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I don't think anybody's or any of significant numbers are here for those guys. Yeah. This initially, as I understand it, there was no plan initially for Trump to speak unless it was under wraps. But then several days ago revealed that he will indeed address the crowd. And initially they didn't reveal how he would be doing so or where he would be. And then a couple days back. They said, in fact, he will speak, and they will be setting up the stage on the ellipse for his speech. And then the festivities that were otherwise planned, and there is a whole list of speakers, many of whom people of our persuasion would certainly not like to be on a stage with. They will be at Freedom Plaza, I believe, unless I'm wrong. And so that's a little bit of ways here. It's a block or so down from the White House where they will be having their speech. But there will be President Trump will be speaking and at 11. And who knows what we could end up hearing from him. Maybe he'll reveal some things. Maybe he'll talk to us about martial law. Maybe he'll threaten martial law. I mean, this is a truly historic day for the world. Because Trump is not, we know this, he's not white positive. He's been doing everything he can for everybody else under the sun and bragging about it all through the day and night. But he is nonetheless an oppositional figure to the anti-white oligarchy. That's why they've developed and built so much momentum against him. And he is at least, by all appearances to this point, and it would be really shocking to see a contradiction, but by all appearances, he is going to fight them to the bloody end. And that may very well mean the declaration of martial law today on a national scale. Now, it's been done on a smaller scale over the years in the United States. It's sort of a spot here, a city there. But this would require something far broader. And who knows, you might be, before the end of this day, we might be reporting on something or sharing something that is truly epic, that people for generations will read about in the history books as a fulcrum to the history of the West.
I hope so. I think he really missed a trick by not addressing the Stop the Steal rallies that happened before and rallied the troops then. I mean, I thought he's sort of leaving it a little bit late to be doing that now, but at least he is. At least he's coming on strong now with support for the people that are supporting him. Now, you pointed out there, Jason, some of the reasons why we should be supporting Donald Trump, because a lot of people have been very critical of him. Do you want to, well, I'll address this to Dr. Slattery, actually. But Dr. Slattery, do you want to sort of tell our listeners why we should really be supporting Donald Trump? Because a lot of people will say, well, you know, he supports Israel. He moved the embassy there. He's always talking about all these things he's done for black people. He let lots of them out from prison. So why is it so important that Donald Trump wins today when, on the face of it, he really hasn't done that much for us?
Well, the main reason really is that he absolutely won the election. There's no doubt that he won the election. And what's happening now is if you blatantly steal a presidential election, that's the end of our constitutional republic. That's just the end of it. And, you know, although I voted for Donald Trump in both elections and I've always pretty much been a supporter, at the same time, I acknowledge that he has floundered. He's made huge mistakes. He has lost. He's had bad strategy. And his causes aren't always our causes. But just given the situation, given the alternative, not just the alternative presidents, but, you know, the alternative scenarios of what's going to happen in America, we're certainly better off with Donald Trump as president than any realistic alternative in front of us. But I mean, the main thing is he did win, and it's really clear he won. The idea that Joe Biden was basically receiving like twice as many black votes as Barack Obama. I mean, you look at these cities where the major fraud happened, Philadelphia and Detroit and Milwaukee, and you go look precinct by precinct, and you're seeing whereas, when Obama ran in 2008, he got maybe 50 or 60% turnout. Supposedly, that's turnout. All the blacks went out and voted for him, but a lot of them stayed home because they couldn't be bothered. Everybody, some places more than 100% of black people are going out and voting for him. I mean, just you can look at so many different metrics, and it's just absolutely clear that this was a stolen election, and you can't let an election be stolen. And so that's why everybody should be turning out, even if you don't like him.
I'm really glad you made that point. It's not so much about supporting Donald Trump, but supporting what's right and supporting justice and the truth. I mean, to think that the leading country in the world could have its elections stolen from them in the same way as goes on in the third world is just unthinkable. And it's wonderful to see that so many people are out there showing their support for this. I mean, you would have thought that Joe Biden would have said, well, hang on, there's a question about this. I want to win fair and square. If there is a question about this, it should be investigated. And he hasn't. He's just allowed it to happen. It shows that the whole of the Democratic Party are corrupt in that respect, in that they're all going along with this. Jason, I don't want to keep you any longer than I have to, because I know you want to get ready for Donald Trump's speech. Have you got any closing thoughts or final thoughts that you'd like to give to our listeners?
Yeah, I'll just say keep your eyes on what's happening here. What happens in any of our countries, but certainly the superpower of the world, the United States, is going to have ramifications for every single country. And more importantly, what matters to us, every single Western country. And so if, as Dr. Slattery was pointing out, if you have a situation where an election can be blatantly stolen, obviously stolen, practically in broad daylight, and they are allowed to walk away with it and then exercise the power that the United States has. I've been reading the bills that the Democrats have been bringing forward. I've been reading them on my Sunday Going Free shows. They are monstrous beyond comprehension. Those will be the kind of things that will come into effect. One thing that would be very deleterious for white positive people around the world is that the Democrats have a drive on to classify everyone who's white positive around the world in the same category as ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And so that would enable the United States, by way of the Democrats, to use the CIA against every white positive radio show, white positive party, white positive group around the world. And then any Americans having interaction with those groups would then come under the same scrutiny that an American would have placed upon them if they were having a connection and conversations with Al-Qaeda and the like. So this is a poignant and very historic moment. Thank you so much, dear Mr. Longshanks, for having me on and having Dr. Slattery on. And I hope to speak with you soon.
Thanks very much, Jason. Dr. Slattery, have you got any final thoughts for our listeners before we finish here?
No, I just echo what Jason said. I am seeing, I'm at this point, there's just a massive stream of people coming down in Constitution Avenue, Pennsylvania Avenue. They're just all, the numbers actually are sufficient. At this point, I think I can announce that the numbers of people here are sufficient to clog up the streets for many blocks around the Capitol. And we'll just have to see. It's hard to predict. The martial law business, martial law has been declared most widely during the Civil War. It was declared pretty widely in occupied southern states. But I've always felt that the military is not behind Donald Trump. The commissioned officers maybe, but the top brass, the flag officers, the generals and the admirals who only got to where they are because they had to go through Senate confirmation, that I don't see them as going along with martial law, but who knows? I don't really have any inside information on that. We'll just see. It is a very historic day. It could very well be the turning point for our republic. It could be the last day of our republic. A vote to certify Joe Biden as president, I think, would be pretty much the same as the vote they had on New Year's Eve 1991 in Moscow, terminating the Soviet Union. And I'm not trying to compare the United States of America with the Soviet Union, but that was a vote to certify Joe Biden as a vote to end the American Republic.
It is a momentous historic moment. And just to think, there is actually a million people there. I think it's the first time I've ever heard of a million man march being announced and a million people actually turn up. Well, thoughts and prayers and support are with you. Thank you both very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.